Daniel Cormier. Let's talk a bit about Daniel Cormier's hypocrisy. So recently he sounded off about John Jones's cheating and how he feels that John Jones cheated and he can't let that go. And here is what he had to say about John Jones. He beats me, gets suspended for the first time. Next time, steroids failed. Next time, steroids failed. It's like every time we fight and you get suspended, if we go through the interaction and you won the fight, that memory does not disappear. I can know through the fights that maybe this dude is just better than me, but I also know that if you're not doing the things that are boosting you, can you really work to that level that I'm working? I can't let it go. He's a cheater. And let's not forget that not that long ago, Daniel Cormier owned up himself to being a cheater. At UFC 210, I mean, we all saw the weigh-in where he pushed down on the towel. He finally owned up that he did that. And here is what he said recently about that incident. I walked to the back after missing weight by 1.2 pounds. It was 1.2. I tried to give it up, guys. Trust me, I tried to give it up. I had a pound to lose. They even went and called my wife to try and get me back in the tub. I said, no, no way. This shit is over. She told me, Daniel, just take a hot bath. I go, it's not that simple. I walk back. My coach, he goes, DC, do you remember the old wrestling trick? I said, can you stand behind me? Because there's two, you can put your hands behind you and your person can lift you up. He said, no, it's the towel one. And so we know the towel trick worked. The other trick, which is the old wrestling trick, is the guy's on the scale and you either, the person looks over their shoulder, and while they're looking over their shoulder, if the person's hands are behind them, they lift up on their hands just a little bit, or they can just lift up on, you know, under their butt cheek and lift them up a little bit in that way. And that's the other wrestling trick. That's not the one they use. They use the towel one, and it worked. So for Cormier to say that Jones is a cheater and he's not, that's hypocritical, because he cheated. He saw a way out, and his coach gave him a way out. Now he could have said, hey, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be the guy that cheats to get the title fight, because I think this was for a vacant title, or he was defending his title, one of those two situations. But if Cormier doesn't cheat, the title is stripped because he's overweight, and then he has to fight and if he wins, then he fights John Jones in his next fight for the vacant title, and he loses that fight. But what happens in that next fight, if he fights John Jones after missing weight for the Anthony Johnson fight at UFC 210, he's not the champion going into that Jones fight. And so had he lost the title on the scale at Johnson, if the Jones fight would have been the next fight for the vacant title, then when the fight is a no contest with Jones, he doesn't win. He doesn't get that title back. He's no longer the champion. And so the whole scenario of the way Daniel Cormier's career worked after that is gone, or is at least could have been different. So if he gets caught cheating and stripped, does he go into the Hall of Fame regardless of what happens next? I don't know. If he gets caught, gets stripped, loses to Jones, does everything after that play out the way it did? I don't know. And so for Cormier to say that Jones is a cheater, it's a hypocritical move, and it also kind of paints him tries to paint himself in a better light here, because had he gotten caught, we don't know what would have happened after that. We know that he would not have had the belt because he would have been stripped on the scale because he missed weight. And we saw what happened with Charles Oliveira. So that's what would have started. After that, all bets are off. So Cormier coming in here and saying that Jones is a cheater is rich. It's a hypocritical move, and it ignores the facts that he cheated. Now you're going to hear people say taking performance-enhancing drugs and cheating on the scale are two different things. And while that might be right in a way, in the big picture, cheating's cheating. And by pushing down on the towel, he got an advantage. Just as surely as PEDs give you an advantage, pushing down on the scale gave him an advantage. He did not have to cut that 1.2 pounds to make the weight. And we know Anthony Johnson's weight cuts were no walk in the park either. So having not cut that weight, we don't know how that benefited him in that fight either. So maybe that was a benefit. It's hard to say, but we know that he saw a way to get an advantage, and he took that advantage. Instead of saying, no, I'm not going to be a cheater, I'm not going to do what these other guys, I'm not going to take a shortcut, he did. He took a shortcut, he took a way out, he took an easy way out, he cheated, and he benefited from that, just as surely as someone who takes PEDs benefits from those. Daniel Cormier benefited from cheating on the scale at UFC 210. And to say anything else is hypocritical and ignores the facts. Nate Diaz took one step closer to getting out of his UFC contract by agreeing to fight Khamzat Chimaev. That fight's going to take place in September. And if the fight takes place, then technically Diaz should be a free agent after that fight. I say technically because when a contract ends, there is a matching period that kicks in for UFC contracts. And so for the UFC, as often said here in the lead up to this, that it can't hold someone hostage, it can kind of hold someone hostage in this situation. Now, I'm going to ignore that the UFC definitely can hold someone hostage by offering them fights they don't want or can't accept, and that'll extend their contract. So that's one way to hold a fighter hostage. Another, and we'll see if the UFC goes this route with Nate Diaz, is to make the fighter employ the waiting period. And so ideally, Diaz would be a free agent the minute that fight ends, and he could be free to negotiate and sign with another organization or go do something else, box Jake Paul. But I don't think that's going to be the case here. I know I think it's a 90-day period, and then I think it's a period of up to a year that he's kind of gets tied into the matching period with the UFC. So if the UFC wants to, it can technically hold Nate Diaz hostage a little longer. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Because Dana White has said we can't hold somebody hostage. And like I said, they can by offering the fighter fights they can't take or won't take or don't want to take and then extend them. But this is another scenario where the quote-unquote hostage situation can take place because they get locked into that matching period. Now, the UFC has waived that matching period before. And they would be wise to do so in this case for various reasons. One, Diaz will be vocal about it. It'll look bad for the UFC. Two, they have the antitrust lawsuits going on, and the UFC doesn't want to have any kind of negative publicity while that's taking place. So ideally, the UFC will release Nate Diaz free and clear when his fight with Chimaev is over. But they definitely do not have to do that. They should do that. They don't have to do that. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Speaking of the Diaz and Chimaev fight, this is a big risk, big reward kind of deal for Diaz as well. If he loses, if he just loses, which he'll be able to move on and do what he wants. If he loses badly, because this is going to be a 5-round fight, and from what we've seen from Chimaev, he can do some damage. And if Diaz leaves that fight a lot worse for wear. He might not be able to fight for an extended amount of time after the fight with Chimaev. Now, the UFC, when it fights on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi, it is its own commission. And if Diaz gets beat badly and there's some risk of injury or there's injuries there, the UFC, I think, is the organization that hands out the medical suspensions. So the UFC could suspend Nate Diaz for a long amount of time if it so desires after that fight, if the damage warrants it. We'll see how that works out. The other big risk is that he gets beaten very badly and that reduces his bargaining power with another organization. I don't think that that's going to be too much of the case here because of how big a name Nate Diaz is, but it could affect him a little bit, and we'll see how that plays out. But the big reward here is, what if he goes out and wins? What if he goes out and beats Khamzat Chimaev? And now the world has opened up for Nate Diaz. The offers are going to be a lot bigger than they would be if Diaz loses. And I wouldn't be surprised if the UFC came at him with another huge offer if he beats Chimaev. If he beats Chimaev and ruins a lot of plans, it would be a real Nate Diaz kind of thing. And he would be left holding the cards and holding a lot of power. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is Diaz is going to get beaten badly, and he's going to then move on to fight Jake Paul in a boxing match. That's what I think. And then we'll see what happens after that. But he did say he'd be open to coming back to the UFC. And so I think what Diaz wants to do here is become a legitimate kind of free agent that just goes around, does one or two things in whatever sport, for whatever promotion, and then moves on to something else. I don't blame him for that. He's been tied to the UFC forever. Wants to have some fun, make some big paydays, and then try something else. Great. I think he should be able to do that. But this fight is not the ideal fight. If I was Nate Diaz, I would have taken the McGregor fight far sooner than I would have taken the Chimaev fight. But then again, we don't know if McGregor is going to come back in 22. Right now, it does 2022. Right now, it doesn't look like he will. And so that might be another reason why this fight's taking place, because, well, Nate Diaz is making big noise. The UFC wanted him to fight Conor McGregor, but if the fight's not going to be available until 2023, then this is the next best option for the UFC. And I understand that Diaz did not want to give the UFC what it wanted in accepting the McGregor fight. I appreciate that. I respect that. But if I was Nate Diaz, I would have rather fought Conor McGregor than fought Chimaev. Probably a bigger payday, definitely less risk, and you still get what you want at the end of the day to move on after the fight. But it's going to be interesting. Like I said, big risk, big reward. If he wins, huge rewards. Speaking of Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler is on this trip that the biggest fight that the UFC can make right now, or something to that effect, is that the Chandler and McGregor fight. He keeps talking about how this is a big fight and just talking the fight up. But the reality is, it's not a big fight. It's not a big fight. It's not a big fight because neither of these guys right now are at the top of their games. Conor McGregor is still ranked at lightweight, and I don't know why, and I will beat that drum forever. He hasn't had a win in the division since he beat Alvarez, and I think that was in 2016. And he shouldn't be ranked in the lightweight division, and that's what it is. So to say that this is going to be the biggest fight in the UFC, it's the biggest fight the UFC can make, it's disingenuous. The reality is, Michael Chandler wants this fight because he wants to get paid. And I respect that. But be honest about it. Don't make up these stories. Don't make up some kind of fake, false narrative. This is not a big fight. It's a big fight for Michael Chandler, and that'll get him paid. It's an okay fight for Conor McGregor, because he's going to get paid regardless of who he fights. But to say that this is going to be a big fight for the UFC, no, it's not. It's not a big fight in the least. It's a fight that people will watch, but in the big picture, it doesn't have any real meaning. It's just a fight, and it's just a fight to get Michael Chandler paid. Be honest. Own up to why you want the fight. No one will hold that against you. It's prize fighting. The prize is money. Go make that money. If it's a Conor McGregor fight, make the money that way. I don't understand why he has to talk this up in some kind of way to make a false narrative that I don't think anyone, maybe anyone outside of himself, believes. I saw something with the LPGA, and that the sponsors wanted to make the prizes bigger for the LPGA. And I thought about this, and I understand that, and I appreciate the way the LPGA sponsors are thinking here. Hey, we're gonna infuse more money into the LPGA, and we're going to use that money to raise the prize pool for the women golfers. And that is great. So I was thinking, what if the UFC actually had events that had corporate sponsors? And I'm not talking about the deals they have with crypto.com and Monster, but those are also deals that this could be used for. But why not have UFC 281 sponsored by whatever? Why not do that? And then you take that sponsorship money and don't put it in the UFC's pocket. Put it in the fighters' pockets. Increase the pay for the fighters on that card based on what money they get from the sponsor. If it's I'll just use this number. If it's $10 million, well, that's a lot of money. Even if you split it 50-50 and do give the UFC 50%, because why not? Because that's what the usual CBA splits are on these kind of deals with other sporting leagues. So say it's 50%. So say $5 million goes into the prize pool. That's $5 million. That's a lot of money to split between 26 fighters. And what's to say that this doesn't become a normal thing, an everyday thing, an every card thing? You get sponsors for every card. Now, maybe those sponsorship deals go up and down, and that creates a kind of a bit of a problem with the fighters and with some fighters' feelings getting hurt and some fighters not getting promoted onto the cards with the big sponsors. But that's another issue that can be dealt with. My main focus in this is that we'll get these fighters paid. And if we can get these fighters paid, great. And if this is one way to do it, spectacular. But the way it is now, if the UFC has a sponsorship deal, all that money goes to the UFC and 0% goes to the fighters. That's wrong. I don't like that one bit. The UFC loves that, I'm sure. The fighters are quiet about it, but I think if you would ask them off the record, they would be seething about how little they get when these sponsorship deals are announced. Like the crypto.com sponsorship was worth, I think, $100 million. And if you take half of that, that's $50 million the fighters should have gotten if they would have a CBA like the other sports leagues has. They don't have anything. And so that $100 million, $0 goes to the fighters. What's really stopping the UFC from investigating this other than greed? If there's a way to get the fighters paid and it doesn't, and this way it wouldn't even come out of the UFC's pocket. If they can get sponsors for these cards, even if they're not huge sponsors, anything to add to the prize pool is a win for the fighters at this point with the UFC, in my mind. And so maybe this is something that gets investigated, but I'm thinking maybe I'm just dreaming here. But I read about it in the LPGA and how the sponsors were trying to get the golfers paid, and I thought, hey, here's an idea. Maybe the UFC will do it. I doubt it. Could be. I've been critical of Sean O'Malley, and I think I've been rightly critical of Sean O'Malley, because I think for the most part, Sean O'Malley is just someone who talks a lot and doesn't back it up inside the octagon. That's going to change now that he's fighting Petr Yan. And I still am going to hold off on jumping full ahead with being a Sean O'Malley supporter here. But I like what I heard from O'Malley, and here's what he said. I believe I'm better than Petr at what we're going to do, and that's effing fighting. I'm better than him, and I truly believe that, and I think that's what's going to get the job done. I'm going to go in there more prepared than him. I'm going to go in there and just do what I do. Obviously, putting Peter's lights out would be massive, but I just need to go in there and get the job done against Petr Yan. 3 5-minute rounds. It's the best dude I've ever fought, hands down, and I'm very excited for the opportunity, and I just believe I'm going to be better October 22nd than Petr. And I love what I'm hearing here from Sean O'Malley in regard to this fight. He's finally stepping up and fighting a opponent that I think most people think is going to eat him alive. I think he's going to be at a distinct disadvantage in this fight. I think he's going to get lit up, but that's why we have the fights, to see what's going to happen. And of course he has this confidence. He should have this confidence, because if you go in there thinking you're going to lose, why even participate in the fight? To get beat up? This isn't a sport to play. This is a sport that it's not a game. You can get really hurt. And O'Malley's confidence, 100%. I support how confident he is. I love it. I think he believes that he is better, and I think he's going to do everything he can to prove that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm interested to see what is going to happen. And I'm going to tune out all the noise around the fight until the fight, especially from O'Malley's side. But this confidence here, this attitude, I'm going to go in there. I think I'm better than him. I got 15 minutes to prove it. Love it. Love it. I would like to hear more of this from Sean O'Malley than the normal just brash, running his mouth trash talk. This is what I want to hear from fighters, more than just the what we usually hear from fighters, just useless trash talk. This is a confident man. He thinks he's going to win, and let the chips fall where they may. He's still young enough to bounce back from a bad loss anyway. Now, if he loses and he goes back to just running his mouth and denying that he lost, that's a different story. And we'll cross that bridge if and when it happens. But for now, this confident Sean O'Malley, great. More of this. More of this from everyone.